And we're going to be turning to chapter 20. I'm going to be reading verses 11 to 15 and then continuing on to chapter 21 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 20. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 878. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, earth and sky filled with his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to that, to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead and were that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God's prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the living, of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magical arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And this is the second death." Wonderful passage of Scripture, and look forward to hearing what God's Word has to say to us this morning.
Thank you, Sylvia, to us. They need Christ. Amen. They need you and I. Getting down so I can be a little closer. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to once again open up to the book of Revelation. The book of the Revelation, chapter 20. The title of this morning's message is "You Betcha." And so we're going to practice a little bit because I'm going to expect there to be a little interaction here. Okay, how many people here can say "you betcha"? I'll tell you what, we'll try it again on the count of three. One, two, three. Okay, now how many here can say "you betcha not"? One, two, three. That was a little weaker, wasn't it? "You betcha" came through real good. I was very happy with that. "You betcha not" was just a little weak. So I don't think we're convinced that there are some things that "you betcha nots" in life. In the passage of Scripture we read today, we looked at two destinations after life. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And so I want to ask you, how many here would like to be happy? You see, we practice the phrase "you betcha" for a specific reason. How many here would like to be happy? How many here would like to be healthy? How many people here would like to have friends? And how many would like that forever? All right. And how many here would like to be disease-ridden? All right. How many here would like to have pain? We're getting weaker. How many here would like to have disappointment? How many here would like to have discouragement? How many would like to have those things forever? All right. You see, that is literally the choice that you get to make in this life. Because you can have either one of those destinations if you so choose. And it all rests upon one decision. Rests upon the decision of what you think about Jesus Christ. That's what it boils down to. And you see, if you genuinely walk into a relationship with Jesus Christ, if that is the choice that you are going to make, that you're going to throw your life in alignment with God, you're going to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to walk with Christ your life, then you are making the choice to have the very things that we talked about. You're going to choose to have happiness. You're going to choose to have health. You're going to choose to have friends forever. Or you can choose the opposite. If you're going to reject the offer of salvation from Jesus Christ, you're going to have an eternity filled with disease, with pain, with disappointment, with discouragement. What will you choose? What is it that you want? Because you see, the Word of God makes it clear that we have the choice here. You see, when God created man, even before man existed, there were two destinations that man would be able to choose. The lake of fire, the final destination of those who choose to not receive Christ, not live for Christ, that lake of fire is going to be a place of torture and torment and pain and disease and loneliness forever and forever and forever and forever. It's not God's will for man. God's will for man is that all will come to repentance and all will have life in Christ so that they can have the alternative to hell, to the lake of fire. The alternative is heaven and God's presence forever and forever and forever. And that will be a place of love, joy, disease-free, pain-free, happiness, with lots of friends forever and forever and forever. How many here would choose life in Christ? Yeah, you betcha. How many here would rather go to an eternity separated from God? You betcha not. I know I don't want that. And I'm sure no one here does either. Let's look at what this passage that Pastor Homer read earlier. I want you to see a couple of things here, because there are some comparisons to these places, and there's some contrasts. Believe it or not, there are some things in common with a lake of fire and with heaven. All right? And there are some contrasts. And so let's look, first of all, if you will, at this lake of fire. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades, or death and hell, if you will, gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now jump over to chapter 21. Notice the 8th verse. Because here is a description of those whose names are not written in the book of life, but they're written in the books for the deeds that they've done. All right? But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay? The second death, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now, you want to know something about this place? It lasts forever. It's never going to end. No one who goes there suddenly ceases to exist. And in fact, when they choose to go there by rejecting Jesus Christ, they are saying, literally, I choose the lake of fire over Christ. I choose that. Is that what you want? You bet you not. I'm sure that's not what you want. No one wants to go to a place where there's going to be eternal suffering and torment without end. We have a hard time with this concept, because everything here has a start and an end. You know, everything here. My wife starts to cook supper, and when I get up from the table, it's done. And it's been worth the journey. You betcha. All right. But you see, everything in our life is that way. We go through life, and what do? We look forward to getting out of school. Man, when I get out of school, I am my own person, and I begin my lifelong journey of whatever I am going to be and whatever I am going to do. And about 20 years into that, I'm looking forward to retirement. When this thing that I have chosen is done and finished, and I can do what I want to do, and we get to retirement, and we're going, I am anxious for death. So I can get out of this pain and discouragement and frustration that I'm living with in this life. everything you see in this life has a beginning with us and it has an end. And so we have the tendency to look at all things through that prism. But the lake of fire is not like that. Oh, it has a beginning. But it has no end. It is forever. It is eternal. It is without end. And it is a place of suffering, a place of pain, a place of torture. Is that what you want? You bet you not. That's not what you want. You know, I run into people and they will say these kinds of stupid statements. If you have said this, I apologize. Still a stupid statement. I would rather go to hell with my buddies than go to heaven with all those stick-in-the-mud Christians. Be careful what you say. You may get that choice. I want to go to a place that is constant pain and sulfur. Have you ever smelt sulfur? Have you ever really smelled sulfur? I remember growing up, and there was a place in Pennsylvania. Was it Johnsonburg? Johnsonburg, Pennsylvania. Has anybody ever been to Johnsonburg, Pennsylvania, maybe 30, 40 years ago? Wow. It was just odorific. I mean, you talk about a place that stunk. And they said it was because of paper factories. And whatever chemicals and all of the stuff that they would use as they would grind up the wood and all the wonderful odors of that kind of thing brought about this amazing smell of burnt cabbage. Have you ever smelled burnt cabbage? Burnt cabbage usually brings a reflexive impulse to me. Is that a gentle enough way to say that? Okay. You betcha? Okay. But you see, Johnsonburg used to smell constantly. Now, the people that lived there said, well, I really don't smell it anymore. You know, but if you're just passing through, boy, you could smell it. From about 20 miles away to about 20 miles past, and all it was just burnt cabbage type of a smell, just repulsive. Now, imagine spending forever in a place of sulfur, which is probably 100 times worse than burnt cabbage. And imagine that forever with you never losing that sense of smell. Where it's the sense of burning flesh that is not destroyed. And so it's ongoing. Where it's a place of eternal torment and torture with no hope of an ending. Is that what you want? You bet you not. That's not what you want. But you see, a rejection of the offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ, that's what you choose. And so you see, between eternal life and eternal death, there is a comparison between the place of the lake of fire and the place of heaven, and that is that each one of them is a choice that we make in this life. That's a comparison. We will choose what our eternal destination is. Now, it's not God's will that any of us choose the lake of fire. Or it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, that's God's will. God's will is, because He loves us so much, He wants us all to make the decision for eternal life in Him. But some won't. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said it this way, the road that leads to that lake of fire, that road that leads to destruction, that road that leads to a place of eternal torment and torture and pain and agony and all of that stuff, the road that leads there is wide. And many will be on that road. Isn't that sad? Then he goes on to say, but the road that leads to heaven is narrow, and few there will be that will take that road. The choice is given to all. Many will choose to not have the interference of God in their lives. And so God says, if that's your choice, you make it. Everything that we do that is contrary to what God wills and wishes for us is written in one of the books that's mentioned here. You know, as we looked at those verses, it says, and there were books that were opened, and another book that was opened, which is the book of life. The first books that were opened were the books of the record and the accounting of the things that we've done that are contrary to what God wills and wishes for us. You know, the lies, the murders. And by the way, you know, you don't have to kill someone to commit murder. If you hate someone, you've murdered them. You see, so all of those things are written in these books. And so what you'll do is you'll have Josh Marsh's name there. And beside Josh Marsh's name will be, doesn't like his sister-in-law, got ticked off at his wife for no reason at all, kicked the neighbor's cat. You know, there's going to be all of these kinds of things written beside the name of Josh Marsh. And so when the books are opened, and God sees his name, he's going to say, you chose your eternal destination. I don't really condemn you there. You chose eternal separation. So you go. You go away. Now, he's going to look at Aaron Marsh. You see, Aaron's name's going to be in the books, too. And he's going to look at Aaron's name. And he's going to see a stamp that says, canceled. She chose Jesus. And so her name and all of those things that she did, not necessarily her name, but all of those things that she did are going to be removed from those books. And all that God is going to see is redeemed by the blood of my Son. Forgiven. Cleansed. Made pure. Chose life. He's going to say, enter into your joy. Anything that she may have done, and boy, she's done some horrible things. If you have an hour, come and talk to me. I'll tell you the things. No, I won't do that. But you see, that's a choice that she has made. And it becomes important that we understand God isn't going to just send us to the lake of fire. We literally choose to go there. And so there's a similarity. We can choose life, or we can choose death. We can choose the presence of God, or we can choose separation from Him. We can choose being forgiven and cleansed and washed, or we can choose filth and stench and pain. We can choose health, joy, happiness, the presence of God forever, or we can choose pain, suffering, separation from God. Here's the similarity, the comparison. Both destinations are eternal. They're never going to end. Never, ever, ever going to end. So we're faced with a choice. What are we going to do? I want to show you what God wants us to choose. Chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. He who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And He said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You betcha. You betcha. Do you want to live in a place where there is joy and peace and comfort and light and love forever? You betcha. Well, there's only one way to have that happen, and that is the fact that you must receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You must walk in faithfulness to Him and in obedience to Him if you want to have that. But it's a place forever, without end. There's not going to be any thieves. There's not going to be any liars. There's not going to be any of the immorality that we see so prevalent in this world. None of that's going to be there. There won't be one murderer. There will only be those who have canceled, stamped across the sins by their name. Forgiven, stamped across the name. Cleansed, stamped across the name. Where the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away their sins. Isn't that what you want? You betcha. Choice is yours. The door's open. Time has not come to its close yet, but it will. At this moment, you're faced with a decision. What do I want? Do I want life? Or do I want death? Do I want joy or do I want depression? Do I want health or do I want disease? Do I want energy and strength or do I want torture and weakness and pain? What do I want? Jesus said, anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever will may come. Do you want stamped across the things that you've done that are written in the books? Do you want stamped across that canceled, see the book of life? You betcha. You betcha. And the only thing you can do is do it Jesus' way. Can't be done your way. It's got to be His. You must believe that Jesus Christ is God. You must believe that He died for your sins. You must acknowledge that you have sinned and realize that your sin has hurt Him. And so you must repent of those sins that you've done, ask for His forgiveness, and invite Him in. Jesus says, anyone who comes to me in that fashion, I will in no wise cast out. I won't throw them away, but I'll forgive them, and they'll be born into my kingdom. And their name is then written in the book called Life. And that's what you want. You betcha that's what you want. Today, you have the opportunity. Right now, you have the chance to make a decision between the two destinations at the end of life. Will it be the lake of fire, pain and torture, never ending, or will it be life in God's kingdom filled with joy, happiness, friends, presence of God forever without end? Choose you today the destination. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time to please take your hymnals. We want to give you an opportunity. I'm going to ask you to please take your hymnals and open up to number 376. Number 376. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know what? I have to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ, then I'm going to invite you to come. Come here to this altar. Choose you today your destination. You can choose Christ and choose life. Or you can choose Satan and choose death. Choice is yours. But if Jesus is speaking to you and saying, boy, I'd love to have you in the family. I'd love to have you a part of my kingdom. Why don't you step out and come, kneel here at this altar. And if you can't kneel, be seated in one of these pews and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. We're going to sing this. I'm not going to do any more speaking. We're going to sing. And if God is speaking to you, you simply respond. So we're going to sing number 376. We're going to sing all four verses. It's a short song, but it's really a short walk when you consider eternity's values. I want to thank you for being here this morning. It's been great to be able to be in God's house and worship together with you. And I trust that you feel the same. Let's have a closing word of prayer, and then we'll ask Sylvia to lead us in our benediction, number 335, and you'll sing that through twice. Okay? Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank you for the fact that you have opened up the doors of your kingdom and have invited us. Wow. Lord, you want us to be a part of your kingdom forever. That's just amazing and just blows us away. But we thank you. We thank you for the offer that you have made. And I pray that each and every one of us will seriously, seriously consider what the options are. And so, Lord, continue to speak to us, to draw us, to strengthen us, to renew us. Father, continue to watch over us. And now, Lord, as we leave this place today, may we leave with that assurance that we leave with your presence. And with that resolve in our hearts that, it was good to have been in God's house. For it's in your glorious and righteous and holy name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen.